7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
In the right direction. This call may be monitored or recorded.
It's 8:23 p.m.
And now for a categorical denial. No, it's not 8:23 p.m. I think we all know what time it really is. It's actually 19:30 UTC, and that means it's time to begin the Dubious Goals Committee. Yeah, it is. Hello. I said hello. And it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and I need to pour me some tea. Because I'm drinking tea. What kind of tea am I drinking today? The good stuff. Oh, yeah, daddy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Once again, I'm on the Gingin May. Day two of this fat batch of leaf that I shoved down into my tea filter, stuffed it nice and full, and said, yeah, we're drinking tea today. Yeah. Oh, so yummy. But this isn't all we're doing today. No, we're not just sitting around drinking tea. No, we got other action to get into. So let's get out of the car. Yeah, I'm Dimbler. Oh, all right. What are we doing? What's happening? What's going on? Where am I? Hello, and welcome to another episode of Let's Investigate the Small Parks in My Neighborhood. And that's where we are right now. I'm at a bizarre little park in my neighborhood that I can measure because it's rectangular. It's yellow, black, and rectangular, and it's about 100 meters by, oh, just under 100 meters, maybe 80 meters. It's a wacky little place. Why is it so wacky? Well, it's another one of these weird little parks. Kind of wonder why they have to exist. Because there's not much here. Apparently this park is called Palomino Hills Park. I don't know where Palomino Hills is. Must be this neighborhood, which is essentially my neighborhood. But no, I live in Maplewood or Mapledale Glen Road. But as I walk through this park on this lovely breezy day, it's a little bit warmer than I thought. There's something weird here. We have tennis courts, but there's only one tennis court, and they're fenced and everything. But the other tennis court is not a tennis court. We have to go over there and investigate. We have some big lawny types of swaths of grass with little trees. Got a couple picnic tables over here. It's a sunny day. It's a little warmer than I was expecting, but the wind is blowing, so I'm kind of staying cool for now, and I don't want to stay out here the whole time. Over here on this end of the park, we have a little bit of playground equipment for the kids to play on. We got a couple of those little horses that are mounted on giant springs. We've got a miniature climbing wall that isn't much taller than me. There's a little thing with slide and ladders and weird crap for kids to play on. And some swings. But more importantly, what the hell is this over here? Okay, we've got a little sidewalk that leads up to the tennis courts with a barricade on it that says sidewalk closed, because apparently this crack is endangering the public welfare. I'm going to ignore that sign and continue to walk on this sidewalk. Okay. So I'm standing on a large concrete pad that must be 40 meters by 40 meters square. It is surrounded entirely by chain link cyclone type fencing. That is, well, I'm 2 meters. It's almost 3 meters tall. On the left here, we have a tennis court. Lines are painted. A chain link net is up. On the right here, I'm guessing this used to be a tennis court. But there are some faint, odd lines. I was going to say maybe this used to be basketball. Because down here, where I would be on the serving line if it was a tennis court, I can see in the concrete that there used to be two metal posts sticking in up here, which sort of indicates that this was used to be a basketball hoop. And these, some of these really old lines, there seems to be different aged lines. This looks like a key for basketball, but then what are these lines over here? This doesn't make any sense. Okay, here we have some kind of thing that kind of makes sense on the side here. Halfway, right in the middle here, we've got an old basketball hoop. It's just a post now. There's no backboard, there's no hoop, it's broken. So you used to be able to play basketball sideways here at one point in time. Walking to the end of the court, we have what would appear to be another key. And yes, matching old basketball posts for a backboard and stuff. I recognize these because this is the type that we had at my elementary school. Over here on the edge, though, we have something different. Aha! We have hopscotch. We have hopscotch. Very faint red or orange lines painted on the concrete. So faint that I can't tell which direction I'm supposed to be hopping. I think this is one here. Wow. And it's kind of small. I can barely get my single foot in this space. Hoppity hop hop. Yeah, I'm not gonna bother. Not gonna bother. I do like hopscotch games and related stuff. There are some kind of oddball ones out there in the world. Back to the center of this court, very, very faintly, I can see a circle. A 1 meter circle. 1 meter diameter circle. Huh. What, you know, we had that painted on my school blacktop too. I'm gonna check this other corner to see if there is also another hopscotch thingy over here. What do you call a hopscotch grid? Does a hopscotch grid have a specific name? Is it a pitch? Is it a tarungarul? Is it a Gammonon? Huh. I don't know. Don't remember. Don't even know if I care. Because now I'm over here on the tennis court. And I'm checking the baseline to see if... Yeah, no. There was never basketball hoops here. This has always been a tennis court. Yay. Fantastique. And so now I'm walking out of the tennis court, and I'm going to go walk under this tree, because it's a big tree. What kind of tree is it? I don't know, some kind of evergreen. Is it a spruce? Let's test it. Let's give it the spruce test. Yes, it is a spruce. What is the spruce test? Well, you handshake. You give a pine tree a handshake. That'll tell you what kind of tree it is. And, well, that's about the extent of this park. It sits in a residential neighborhood that backs up against a busy street that does have some businesses on it. So there's a lawyer's office, there's a tattoo parlor, there's some kind of quick lube type place. There's a car parts place over there. And then there's this funny little side strip mall. There's a little bar in there, and there's some other crap in there too. I forget what all is in there. I don't really care. And, now my back kind of hurts. Anyway, that's pretty much it for this park. It's tiny. There's not much going on here, so there's no water. There's no dudes. But it was good to come out and get some exercise. So let's plug in the MP3 player. And let's hit random play for some exciting music on the way home.
At the apartment. He's balling right now. While they're getting it together, I was told that some of you dudes don't know anything about blues. And I noticed one of the members of my group you seem to know very well. How'd it make me feel? Make me feel good because he works with me.
Snap!
Yes, you live in my penthouse. You
was just a shack. I gave you 7 children, and now you want to give them back.
Very cool, very cool. That is obviously the incomparable B.B. King, and he's been a little downhearted. And I guess this just makes a perfect segue. A perfect segue into what, Tobe? Oh, how about some primitive radio gods? Yeah, that'll work.
Thank you.
So, what do you get when you combine B.B. King with Lou Reed and give him a sampler? Well, you end up with that. You end up with Primitive Radio Gods and their hit song from the 90s, Standing Outside a Broken Phone Booth. What's a phone booth? Seems like I used to know. It's been so long. The last time I actually remember standing in a phone booth and actually making a telephone call, I was in... Where was I? Was I in Ogallala? I think I was in Ogallala, Nebraska, which is close to the Colorado border. And Ogallala, Nebraska is a small town, and they have an old rural sort of farmers co-op type of phone company. And I remember walking around in Ogallala, going down the side street, seeing a phone booth, and it was right outside the phone company, and I went, whoa! So I immediately ran into the phone booth, and I ANA'd it, and then I called my answering machine, left a message. It was great. I highly recommend doing this. If you find a phone booth, if you find any type of payphone, you should call yourself with it, but... I haven't been out to Ogallala in a while, and I haven't seen a phone booth in a while. The last time I saw a phone booth in town, well, a slightly functional one, it was actually inside a restaurant, and it was kind of a centerpiece, and yes, it did have a working phone in it that I then ANA'd and made some calls on, etc., etc. But... The last time I saw an outdoor phone booth, I found all the dead ones that had been taken out and were in a certain phone company's scrapyard that I know of. And I can't help but think, you know, that's not very, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nyampasa.
Maybe I'm looking for the word nyampasa.
Nyampasa. Nyampasa.
You can do it. Go for the double. Yes.
Nyampasa.
Everybody needs a lot of nyampasa in their life. And I did actually acquire some bonus nyampasa last night. While I was in the grocery store, I had to go to the grocery store, get me some food, because I'm running low on food. What did I get? I got some meatballs and some salad, and I got, I got waffles, and I got some cottage cheese and some kitty water. And then, I had to get some graham crackers, so I went to the graham cracker aisle, and I walked down to the graham crackers, and I was getting nervous because I couldn't see my graham crackers. And why are they always sold out of my graham crackers? I don't know. But no, they were not sold out. There was one box that was just sort of hiding on the back of the shelf, and I was like, oh, thank God, graham crackers. I love you, graham crackers. And so I grabbed the graham crackers, I put them in my basket, and I looked further down the aisle to see what else was down there in case I needed to buy some more stuff. And I noticed that, there was candy down there. And then I remembered, no, I don't need to buy any more candy because I have two fat bags of candy. Well, actually, I got like three or four fat bags of candy. But I have my regular hard candy, and I have a big fat bag of Hi-Chews, my favorite blend. Oh, Blenda. And then... Oh, yeah, plus I have my whole bag of my sour guava candy. So I was just sort of standing there, staring at the shelves, making sure that I didn't see anything new that I needed, and then wham, bam, bingo! There was something new. There was something that I've never even seen before, and I couldn't believe it. And I said, can that be right? And what am I seeing? This is what I was seeing. Because obviously I had to buy it. What do I have? in my hot little hand. I've got a bag of Hi-Chews. Of course, Hi-Chew. Hi-Chew rules. But this is one of the small bags. This is an 80-gram bag, not the 40-kilo bag that I normally buy. Now, why is this such an unusual bag of Hi-Chews? Well, it's only got two flavors in this bag. And they're weird flavors. See, on the bag, it's red and blue, and it says Hi-Chew Soda Pop. Okay, big deal. Now, normally I would skip that, except what are the two flavors? Well, yeah, obviously one of them is cola, but the other one is Ramune. That's right, it's Ramune and cola. Twin pack soda pop Hi-Chew 80 gram bag, and I bought it. And just looking at the illustrations, I haven't opened this yet, I haven't eaten any of these, but just looking at the illustrations on the bag, it would appear that the cola one, the cola flavored candies, are the inside out JDM shiny wrapper market version. Yay! This is not a JDM bag. It's not even a Canada market bag. This is only a single language bag. That's kind of surprising, but regardless. The other flavor, Ramune. Ramune, the traditional weird marble bottle capped Japanese soft drink that is sort of like apple cider. It's like sparkling apple cider. And that comes in these weird bottles. These weird bottles that have marbles in them. Little glass balls that are in the neck of the bottle. The pressure of the carbonated drink forces that ball up against the aperture of the bottle, thereby sealing it. And so when you want to drink a Ramune, you have to open it up and you press down on this marble to release the pressure. And then this marble just sort of rolls free. But it's not rolling free in the bottle. It is actually captive in the neck of the bottle, and it can sort of help regulate how fast you drink the bottle of Ramune. Which is kind of weird, but this is a traditional Japanese thing that goes way back. I first heard about this when I was a very young child, but I have never actually had a bottle of Ramune. I've never tasted it. Don't even know what it tastes like, but now, we have the official Hi-Chew candy version of it. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, open that damn bag and taste one of those and give us a review of what it tastes like. Is that what this has become? Is Dubious Goals Committee now a candy review show? Maybe it should be. Because on the back of the package, right down here at the very bottom, it says my favorite line, my favorite statement that's on all Hi-Chew bags. Flavor ratio may vary. That's right. You've been listening to the Flavor Ratio May Vary Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, but now it's over!
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.